stand, and as you're standing, I'd like to also say how much I appreciate Pastor and Mrs. Barr being with us tonight. We thank God that they've come to be a blessing to us. And when a busy pastor can find time in his schedule to come and to worship with others, then I tell you that manifests the Spirit of Christ himself. And we're just delighted, Pastor Barr, to have you and Sister Barr here tonight. God bless you. Turn with me now in the Word of God to 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is going to be one of the most simple sermons you've ever heard. You didn't know I could preach a simple sermon, did you? But I'm going to shock you tonight. This is just going to be a little simple sermon. Oh, we might throw in one or two little things to kind of confuse you, but no, I'm just being facetious. But it is a sermon that I love, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Very simple. Three little points. A difficult task in a difficult place in a difficult time. Now, that is what I call camp meeting sermon. A difficult task in a difficult place in a difficult time. Now, let's read then from 2 Samuel chapter 23. Beginning our reading at verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in
his hand. But he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. May God add his blessings on the reading of his word. You may be seated. One of the most exciting stories in all of the Word of God is that of David and his mighty men. Now, I think you and I can identify with those mighty men because the Bible said they came to him and they were in debt, they were distressed and discontented. That's exactly the way Jesus Christ, our heavenly captain, found you and me. We were distressed because of our sins. We were discontented because life was not worth living. And we certainly owed God a debt we would never be able to pay. But I'm glad our heavenly captain took us, rookies though we were, a motley sinful crowd, and wielded us into a mighty army. Likewise, this happened in the case of David's mighty men, and it's concerning just one of them I want us to look for just a while tonight. The Bible said that Benaiah slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. First of all, he had a great difficult task. He slew a lion. But not only did he have a difficult task, he had a difficult place to fulfill the difficult task, namely in the midst of a pit. But not only did he have a difficult task in a difficult place, he did it in a difficult time, in the time of snow. So that's the message, a difficult task in a difficult place in a difficult time. First of all, a difficult task. The Bible said he slew a lion. Now, I don't know what you think, but I would not especially want to take on a lion. Remember, he didn't have high-powered rifles as men have today. I mean, he just took him on evidently with his bare hands. It was a difficult task to slay a lion. You might think it's easy, but I wouldn't want to be thrown into that particular situation. I would not relish having to fight a lion. Now, for a number of years, Sister Brown and I lived in the state of Florida, one of the beautiful states of America. But there's one thing that you must come to peace with in Florida, and that is you just must take for granted that you're going to have to live with snakes and alligators. I remember behind our home at one of the pastorates, there was a canal, and every day this big alligator was just coming by. It looked like a nuclear power sub, but you could just count on it. There he came, nuclear powered, right behind our house. And my wife said to my mother, who was living with us that time, she said, "Now, Mother Brown, don't go out in the backyard because there's an alligator that comes by here every day. And you wouldn't want to be in the backyard if that alligator was hungry." And my mother looked at Sister Brown as if to say, "Honey, if you want to believe there's an alligator..." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Have you ever wondered why when a big Arkansas Razorback football player kicks that football, it doesn't burst? I'll tell you what happens. When he kicks that football, the external pressure comes against him. However, as that external pressure comes against the football, there is simultaneously built up within the football a greater internal pressure. And that internal pressure repels the external pressure so that the football does not cave in. Now, when the devil comes against you and me, he tries to cave us in. He assures us we're going to be caved in. I'm happy to tell you that when he tries that through the power of the Spirit of God, the one that is greater than he that is in the world, there is built up a greater internal pressure of the Spirit, and that internal pressure repels the external pressure of hell. And as God's people, we do not cave in. Greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I have learned, if you and I are to do the work of God, doing it Hollywood style is not going to make it. I've learned that trying to hate Hollywood is a courting of disaster. I've learned that human ingenuity comes up short every time. I've learned that you and I don't have the strength enough. We don't have the brains enough. We don't have the wisdom enough to do God's work in ourselves. But then, thank God, we don't have to do it in ourselves. We have the mighty power of the Spirit of God, and when he comes upon us, though the task is difficult, and though there's no way in this world we can slay the lions who come against us, we just simply do it anyhow. God, and we have the victory now. You can do it. Oh, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. heaven and in earth and under the earth should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank him tonight. He was willing to go to hell. Hallelujah. How do you explain that? I am two ways. Number one, every other generation, God Almighty raised his hand. This case is different. And number two, Billy Graham has justified God's confidence. That's not his story. Billy Graham, there's no other way to explain Billy Graham. But he said, now wait a minute. What's that attitude that rejoices because demons are subject unto him? He said, I know somebody else that had great power. I know somebody else that had great authority. I know somebody else that God blessed in such a mighty way, but he couldn't take it. He fell as lightning from heaven. Rejoices because now, thank God, the common man, the man off the street, the man of everyday life, everybody is going to be anointed of God if they will let God do so. In other words, he sees that his plan of redemption, that his church is going to go on, because there will be people that he can delegate power and authority to. In other words, this is spiritual D-Day. He sees that the kingdom of God has hit the beaches, and it's D-Day. And though the final VE day and VJ day have not spiritually come, thank God D-Day has come. And Jesus rejoiced because by the power of God manifested through these disciples, he said, this means Satan is defeated, and now it's only a matter of time. Glory to God. Nothing used to get my attention and utterly amaze me when I was just a little boy as when my mother would wring a chicken's neck. Boy, I mean, she was a chicken neck wringer par excellence. She just walked right over and grabbed that chicken, wring its neck. But the amazing thing was the chicken's neck was wrung and it kept flopping around. And I'd look at it and say, well, how can that chicken be flopping around? Its neck is wrung. Well, that's the way the devil is. He's still flopping around.
He's still, but he doesn't know it, but his neck's been wrung. Hallelujah. It's only a matter of time. So he said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And he said, this means ultimate victory is assured. And child of God, because he came down into the pit, ultimate victory is assured. Then the Bible said, when he went into that pit, that he nailed to his cross the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. And he took it out of the way. This handwriting of ordinances was a certificate of debt. The Greek word there is paragraphon. And what Paul is saying is that just as a citizen in the Roman Empire would have a certificate of debt, which the debtor or the creditor would hold, until that certificate of debt had its demands met, the debtor could hold that certificate of debt over the creditor's head. But once the debt was paid, an X mark was slashed right through that paragraphon, or certificate of debt. And so what Paul is saying is, when Jesus Christ went down into the pit, he took our certificate of debt. The devil had been waving it in our face. Hell had been holding it over our head. Hell had been threatening us because of that certificate of debt. But Jesus Christ took that certificate of debt that hell was holding over our head, and he nailed it to his cross. And thank God he slashed it with his X, and thereby signified the debt is paid evermore. Hallelujah. He caused it to be taken out of the way. It's no longer held against us, for the conquering Savior, our heavenly Benaiah, went down into the pit. God help us to see how victorious we are tonight in Jesus Christ. And then finally, in a difficult time, in the time of snow. Now it's enough to fight a lion, but to have to fight him down in a pit where you can't run from it, can't get away from it, I mean, that's just inconceivable. And if I can just get that, grab that mane, and he suddenly grabs his mane, the snow's so slippery, and his mane just slips right off. You think it's easy to kill a lion in a pit when you can't see him? Furthermore, who could smell the better? See, poor old Benaiah was at a disadvantage. He couldn't smell the lion like the lion could smell him. The lion didn't need sight as much as Benaiah did. The lion could operate in snow. But poor old Benaiah, he not only had to have his smeller operating, he had to have those eyes operating. And to try to kill a lion in the middle of a snowstorm down in the midst of a pit, I can't think of anything more difficult in the natural than that. But thank God he did it anyhow. Hallelujah. He did it anyhow because the job had to be done. You and I face a difficult task. The Assemblies of God has come up with a very ambitious program, the Decade of Harvest. That, friend, is a difficult task. To have 5,000 new churches in 10 years, 20,000 new preachers, 5 million converts, friend, that's a difficult task. But I want to tell you, our heavenly Benaiah can help us get the job done. If we'll pay the price, do what we should, then we will get the job done. The task may be difficult, but it must be done. And by the grace and help of God, it's going to be done. Because as we rally God will certainly rally unto us. A most difficult time. Now, you remember last night I briefly alluded to the fact of how the Apostle Paul says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable what? Time. Remember we said there are two words in the New Testament for time. One is the word chronos. We get our word chronology from that word. That's clock time. The other is the word kairos, and that is critical time. That is to say, the critical moment when something that will happen must happen then, or it will never happen at all. And so the Bible said that we are living in a critical time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Let me illustrate it this way. When I would teach, I would tell the class that on a certain day, at a certain hour, we are going to have an examination. Fair warning. Now, they could do what they pleased till that hour came. That was clock time. You know, if they wanted to study, they had clock time to do it. He wanted to court his girl and not study, he had clock time to do that. He had all the time in the world to prepare for that particular test. You know, it's really something when you're giving examinations, and obviously I can identify with this. A student never has enough time. I mean, I don't care how much you've studied. Oh, if I just had two more hours, if I just had two more hours. I don't know how many times my wife said that getting her graduate degree in the seminary. And I said that getting my degree. And so we just never seem to have enough time. If I just had two more hours. And then if we had had 2 hours, we'd have said, if I just had two more hours. A student seemingly just never gets enough time. And so we apply ourselves. Some students don't apply ourselves. Reminds me of the young man taking his examination. He obviously had not studied, and he was taking the examination right near the Christmas holidays. All he wrote on his paper was, God only knows, Merry Christmas. Handed in his examination. Well, the holidays passed. They assembled back. The professor had graded the papers. The boy got his paper back. The professor wrote simply, God gets 100, you get a 0. Happy New Year. Just that simple. So, they had clock time. They could do what they will. But friend, when that day came, that hour came, and I said, clear your desk, get you a clean sheet of paper, chronon changed to chiron. That was it. No coming, oh, I knew it, Professor Brown. I knew it. Oh, I knew it. No mercy. You had clock time. Now when Chiron has come and you flittered away your time in Chronon, don't expect me to overlook it. This was your moment. This is it. You and I living in that critical moment. This is it. It's time to get done what God wants to get done, because our King went down into the pit and he has a great task for us to fulfill. If he fulfilled his, and if Benaiah fulfilled his, you and I can fulfill ours. And with this, I'm finished. On January 15, 1559, Elizabeth Tudor was crowned Elizabeth the First of England. After the coronation ceremony in Westminster Abbey, they went over to Westminster Hall, and there was a banquet in Queen Elizabeth's honor. Over 1,000 people were in attendance, and she sat, of course, on the dais. And as they were sitting there, suddenly, riding right into that banqueting hall on a magnificent horse, was Sir Edwin Dymoke, England's most famous knight. He had a gauntlet in his hand. He suddenly hurled down that gauntlet, and he called upon any man in that banqueting hall who would refute the right, who would challenge the right
of Elizabeth Tudor to be crowned the lawful monarch of England to come and do him battle. And that great crowd, as Sir Edmund Dymoke waited, began to shout, "Largesse! Largesse! Largesse!" Nobody took up the challenge. And when nobody took up the challenge, the great crowd broke into applause, because all England knew Elizabeth Tudor was the rightful queen of England. Hear this, preacher? There's coming a day when God Almighty is going to throw down his gauntlet. When he does, he's going to challenge any person on earth, any person in this universe that would deny the right of Jesus Christ to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to come do God's will. God will wait. Not one person shall take up the challenge. Well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what will happen. Good angels are going to bow. Bad angels are going to bow. Good men are going to bow. Bad men are going to bow. Heaven is going to bow. Earth is going to bow. Hell is going to bow. And in unison, we shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. Thank God our heavenly Benaiah went down into the pit, but he'll go no longer. Forevermore he shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A difficult task, in a difficult place, in a difficult time, but he got it done anyhow. And to him be honor and glory and power and dominion and praise now and forevermore. World without end. Amen and amen. Would you bow your heads? Hallelujah. Let's worship our heavenly Messiah. Let's worship him. He who went down into the pit of sin, the morass of hell, and rescued you and me from the lion of hell that would have destroyed us. Hallelujah. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel God in the service in these moments. God's Spirit is hovering over us while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you, dear friends, sitting in God's presence, will say out of the honesty of your heart, "I sit here and I'm not right with Jesus Christ. I'm not ready for heaven. My sins are not forgiven. I'm on the road to hell, and I'll die without God if I don't repent. But I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If he came down into this world, died for me on that cross, blotted out my spiritual certificate of death, then I owe it to him to accept him and let that become a reality in my life tonight. It's not enough that it's potential. I want it to be real, Brother Brown. And so would you pray for me tonight that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will change me. Forgive me of my sins. Come in my life and make me a child of God. Just slip up your hands all over this sanctuary. If you do not know Christ as your Savior and Lord, say, pray for me. I need him tonight. I need my sins forgiven. Remember me in prayer. Just slip your hands right up and right back down. God will see it, and we'll pray for you. God bless you, young man. Thank you kindly. God bless you, sir. God is moving folk by his Spirit. How many more? You'll say, I need that same prayer. I need God as well. I need to get right with God too. I'm not right with God. I too am not a Christian. But I want my sins forgiven, as this young man does. Pray for me as well. Are there others? You'll slip up your hands likewise and say, pray for me tonight. I need God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, I'm going to ask that everybody stand. Please keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm now going to pray for this fine young man who has lifted his hand. God is beginning to do a work in his life. Our Father and our God, I thank thee tonight that Jesus Christ went down into the pit, confronted the powers of hell, died on the cross to destroy the power of Satan. God, I thank thee that the Holy Spirit has been faithful to speak to this young man about Jesus Christ and his relationship to him. And so I pray for him. I thank thee that he's been honest and that he's been bold to lift his hand and say, I need God and I need help, need forgiveness, I need Christ. I pray, our Father, this very night that peace shall be given him. I pray that he shall not leave this sanctuary without knowing the Son of God and having the peace of God that will make him the happiest person in Little Rock, Arkansas. God, help him to come and be saved. And others may be here who need thee likewise. For this we thank thee and praise thee now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you that need God tonight, I'm going to ask you to take one final step. And that is, I want you to come and stand before me tonight. I'm a preacher. I can't save you. But I want to lead you in a simple sinner's prayer. And if you will repeat the prayer after me and in your heart mean it, Jesus Christ will save you tonight. Every sin, I don't care what it is, you've ever committed will be removed and God will never remember it against you anymore. Young man, would you come, and others of you who need Christ, let me lead you now to Jesus Christ. Would you come? God bless him. He's coming. Now, would one of you brethren come immediately and stand beside him to encourage him? Thank God for this fine young man. He's been coming and worshiping with us, sitting under the sound of the gospel. Now I'm so glad his heart has been tender toward Jesus. Are there others who need God? Hallelujah. If so, would you join him right now?
Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sang one verse, he is Lord. Are there others of you who need Christ? You come right now. He can save you. He can settle anything in your life. He can heal any problem. Solve any difficulty in your home. Do what needs to be done. You come to him right now.
Shall bow.
Glory.
Every tongue.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Christ is Lord.
Amen. Now, would you just look at me? I want to lead you now in this simple prayer. You repeat it right after me, and folk, would you repeat the prayer with him so that that encourages him? And if you really mean it, as I lead you in it, Jesus will come in your life tonight. You believe that, don't you? Sure you do. All right, pray this prayer right after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I come as a sinner. I should not have sinned, but I did. And I'm sorry that I sinned. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Cleanse me by your blood. Come into my life. Change me totally. Take my sins away. Make me a child of God. Change my nature. Let me love you and live for you. I really mean this prayer. I surrender totally to you. So I thank you, Lord, for hearing me now and saving me by your grace. In your name, amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. Just like that, he's done. Believe that? Amen. Thank God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. No more, no less. The atoning blood of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, the most exciting event in the state of Arkansas just happened. A lot of people think the most exciting event in the state of Arkansas will be Arkansas and Texas playing football tomorrow. That won't compare with this. That would be exciting, but that won't compare with this. The most exciting event in the state of Arkansas has happened right now. The Bible said that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels when people come to God. Now, have you ever wondered, why do angels rejoice when sinners come to God? Why are they rejoicing right now because this dear young man has come to God? How do they know he's come to God? The Bible answers that. The Bible says that the angels do always behold the face of little children, the Father. They can tell by the Father's face somebody has come to God. When souls come to God, the Heavenly Father's face lights up. And those angels, those worshiping angels, can tell because the Father's face is smiling that he's come to God. Hallelujah. And we and they rejoice together tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm so thrilled what's happened. Now listen, I think you're going to do this anyway because, thank God, this is about third, fourth night in a row, you folks. Just come and worship with us and see what God's done for you. Tell your friends what God has done for you. And then secondly, pray to God every day. Don't be concerned about any great theology. Just talk to God as you would a friend, only with reverence. Call him your Father and pray to him in the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus had such an intimate relationship with the Father. In fact, Jesus never called the Father Father. He always called him Daddy. Did you know that? Anytime Jesus prays to the Father, the Aramaic word, Abba, he uses. That's why you may have read why he said, call no man Father. A lot of people read that and think he's attacking the Roman Catholic Church. No. The reason he says, call no man Father, is because the Greek word translated Father in English there is Abba or Daddy. What he's saying is, call no man Daddy. Not that you couldn't call your own earthly father Daddy as an affectionate term. But he's saying, you don't just go around calling any man out there Daddy. That's a special relationship that you have with the Heavenly Father. Call him Daddy. Glory to God. Now, my father, I called Daddy. I didn't call any other man Daddy. But my father, he was my daddy because there was something special. So that's what's happened. Thank God you can call him Daddy now. Hallelujah. He's your daddy. There's a special relationship. And then read your Bible every day. Just, I would recommend start in the Gospel of John. Don't be worried about what you don't understand. Just ask God to help you live what you do understand. And then other light will be given. And then come to church regularly. And you won't find a better one than Cloverdale Assembly of God. God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Sister Brown will be praying for you. This pastor and staff love you. They will minister to you. These people of the church love you. And I congratulate you that you've come to Christ. Let's give God a hand and him a hand. Praise God. Amen. God bless you very much. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor. God bless you. Hallelujah.